Welcome back. Today we have two topics that I hope to address, Be'ezras Hashem. We've, for the past two shiurim, taken somewhat of a deviation and discussed matters of Agada and the like, and we're going to return back to the topic that we were discussing, which is Olam Haba, and finish that off. And then the second half of today's shiur, we will begin a new topic, and that is Bechiras Yisrael, for which there are new packets. So, in terms of Olam Haba, there are two inyanim that I'd like to discuss with you today. The first is a question that recently, namely when I was preparing these makoros, someone was asking me about, and that is, do non-Jews or can non-Jews have a chelak in Olam Haba, or is Olam Haba something that is specifically for Jews? The truth of the matter is that there is a machlokas about this in the Tosefta. If you look on page 28 of your Makoros, the Tosefta in Sanhedrin says the following, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kol goyim ein lam chelak li olam haba. Goyim do not have a chelak in olam haba. Shenemar yashuvu rishayim l'sheola kol goyim shechechei elokim. And amr lo Rabbi Yeshua, ilu amr akasiv yashuvu rishayim l'sheola kol goyim v'shosek ha'isi omer kedvarecha. Achshav sh'amr akasiv shechechei elohim ha'yesh tzadikim b'umos ha'olam Shiyesh lam chelak l'olam haba. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Goyim have no chelak in olam haba. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, this is only if they're shechechei elokim. But if they believe in God, and they follow God, so then Goyim do have a chelak in olam haba. Now, Rabbi Eliezer's view seems a little troubling. If a Gentile lived in a righteous fashion, why shouldn't he be rewarded? So I presume that Rabbi Eliezer would concede that they are rewarded, however they're rewarded in Olam Hazeh, not in Olam Haba. This relates to a topic that we discussed a number of weeks ago, where we considered why some people, even among Jews, are more likely to be rewarded in Olam Hazeh, and others in Olam Haba. The Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah in Perek HaChelek is medayik, though, that the Mishnayos assume that Goyim do in fact have a chelak in Olam Haba. And that's because the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak l'Olam Haba, and then it continues with the exception. So there are shlosha malachim v'arba hadyotos she'en lam chelak l'Olam Haba. The shlosha malachim are Yeravam, Achav, and Menashe. And the arba hadyotos that don't have a chelak in Olam Haba are Bilam, Doeg, Achitofel, and Gehazi. Now Bilam, of course, was not Jewish. And from the fact that a non-Jew is included in the list of people, she'en lahem chelak l'olam haba, the Tiferes Yisrael is medayik, that clearly some Goyim can have a chelak in olam haba. Or put differently, the Mishnah is so same like the view of Rabbi Yoshua that Goyim can have a chelak l'olam haba. Another source, it's interesting, it's Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer, we already saw Rabbi Eliezer's view, also takes for granted that non-Jews can indeed have a chelak in Olam Haba, like Rabbi Yoshua and like the Stam Mishnah. The Medrash says, Hefresh yesh bein chaside Yisrael l'chaside umos ha'olam. Chaside Yisrael einan nikraim chasidim ad shiyasu kol ha'Torah. It's very hard to be a chasid if you're a Yisrael, because you have to observe the entire Torah, all taryag mitzvos, pratehem v'diktukehem. Aval chaside umos ha'olam, Kevan, Shein Osin Sheva Mitzvah, Shein Etzdavu, V'nei Noach Alein, Hein V'chol Diktukayen, V'hein Nikran Chasidim. To be among the Chasidei Umos Olam, all you have to do is observe Sheva Mitzvah, B'nei Noach. V'amed V'amamurim, K'sh'osin Osan, V'omrin Mikoch Shetziva Osanu, Avinu Noach, M'piagvura Anu Osin. Now the Tosefta makes a very significant distinction. It's not sufficient to simply observe Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach in order for Chasidei Umos Olam to have a Chelak L'Olam Haba. They must acknowledge that the basis and the source for the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is from the fact that God instructed these to Noach. Vim Asu Kein, and if they acknowledge that, Harehen Yirshu Ha'olam Haba Ki Yisrael. Ve'afal Pi She'enan Mishamrin Es HaShabbosos V'Hamo'ados. Then they get Olam Haba like Yisrael, not necessarily the same as Yisrael, but like Yisrael gets Olam Haba, they get Olam Haba, even though they don't observe Shabbos and Yantif, Sharein Lon and Stavu Alayin. After all, there's no expectation that they should observe Shabbos. They weren't commanded to observe Shabbos. Aval im asu mitzvos ve'amru mipi ploni shamanu. Oh, midas atzman. They observe the Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach because they are basic morality, but not because they were commanded by God. Oh, sheshitfu shem avodah zarah im asu kol atar kula ein lo chen scharin ela b'olam hazeh. Then they only are rewarded in olam hazeh. Now this Makor seems to be the basis for the Rambam's term Chasidei Umos HaOlam. We know the Rambam did have Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. He quotes it on occasion. He calls it the Mishnasos Rabbi Eliezer Benosha Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And this is the basis for the Rambam's term and concept of Chasidei Umos HaOlam, and the distinction between what the Rambam calls Chasidei Umos HaOlam and Chachmei Umos HaOlam. Earlier Makoros, by the way, didn't have this Makor. The Kesef Mishnah, for example, in writing, citing the Makor for the Rambam, writes that Umasha Kasav Hushi Kabel V'chulei Nirali Sherabenu Omer Kein Misvara Dinafshe. The Kesef Mishnah assumes the Rambam was making this up, but L'chora, there was an earlier source in Chazal. Now, this famous Rambam has two different girsaos. The old girsa, meaning to say what you'll find in the Vilna editions, says the following: Kol haMekabel Sheva Mitzvos Minizhar LaAsosan HaRezeh MeChasidei Umos HaOlam V'yesh Lo Chelak LiOlam Haba V'Harei V'Hu SheYekabel Osan V'Yasosan Mipnei SheTziva Bahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah V'Odia Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu SheBnei Noach Mikodim Nistavu Hen Aval Im Asu Mipnei HaChrei Hadas Ein zeger tosha ve'enu mechaside umos ha'olam ve'lo mechachamehem. According to the Vilna edition, the Rambam says if a guy observes the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach because Hashem said, so then they are mechaside umos ha'olam. And if not, so they are not chaside umos ha'olam and also not chachme umos ha'olam. However, it's likely, almost certain, that the correct gears of the Rambam is slightly different. This is the Girsa that's been reprinted in the Frankel edition. And the correct Girsa changes one word. Instead of saying velo mechachameim, it says ela mechachameim. Meaning to say there's two categories. The first category is chasidei umos ha'olam, and that is someone who observes the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. And then the second category is Chachmei Umos HaOlam, and that is someone who observes the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach because wisdom dictates that they should be observed. We know from other places the Rambam expresses that the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are indeed laws which can be independently derived using the Seichel. For example, in Perek Tes of Hilchos Malachim Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam introduces the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, he writes that Al Shisha Dvarim Nitzdavu Adam Harishon, Al Avodah Zarah, Ve'al Birkas Hashem, Ve'al Shfichos Damim, Ve'al Gilui Arayos, Ve'al Agazel, Ve'al Hadinim, Af Al Pisha Kulan Hein Kabbalah B'yadenu Mimoshe Rabbeinu, meaning to say, how do we know of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? So, of course, the Gemara in Sanhedrin shows how they are alluded to in the text, but it's far from explicit. Ultimately, the reason why we know of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is because we have a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Rambam continues, and he says as well, the Hada'as no telahen. Meaning to say that these basic principles are things that are mistaber, that the das would dictate, that wisdom would dictate. Nevertheless, again, ultimately, our makor, our true makor, is from the Kabbalah. So here again, the Rambam tells us basically that there's two categories. There's chaside of those of people who observe Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. The first is chaside Umos Ha'olam, who do so based off of Kabbalah. And then the second is Chachmei Umos Ha'olam, who do so Mipnei Shadas Machras. And those are the two categories. It's interesting. I recently saw an article by Rabbi Charlap Shlita, who Kedarko Bakodesh is a fascinating article, and he showed how John Adams cleared the same chakira of the Rambam, namely, what's the reason for basic morality? Is it because we got it from the Jews, Al Pi Kabbalah, more or less, or is it because Hadas Machras? He writes in a letter dated July 13th, 1815, to Reverend Francis Adrian van der Kemp. My friend, the question before mankind, how shall I state it, is whether authority is from nature and reason, or from miraculous revelation, from the revelation from God, by the human understanding and revelation of Moshe and the like. And you'll say, aye, but the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, we only know that from the Mesorah. So John Adams was very into Tarsha Baal Peh as well. He writes in a different letter that to examine the Mishnah, Gemara, Kabbalah, Jezira, I don't know what Jezira is, Sohar, Kosri, and the Talmud of the Hebrews would require the entire life of Mesushalach, and after all, his 969 years would be wasted to very little purpose. And he was someone who had a lot of respect for the Jews. One other letter, just because it's another good quote. He writes, this was in 1809, I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize men than any other nation. If I were an atheist and believed in blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had ordained the Jews to be the most essential instrument for the civilizing of the nations. This is Lafouque, his chavrusa, Thomas Jefferson, who wasn't such a fan of the Jews or the Talmud for that matter. Anyway, that was a parenthetical point. So the point is that John Adams clears the same chakira as the Rambam, namely these two categories, chaside umos ha'olam and chachme umos ha'olam. Be that as it may, the question of the Rambam, even if we accept the girsa of elamei chachameihem, is still very unclear. Because what remains ambiguous is if someone is Mechach me umos ha'olam, does he have chelek l'olam haba? He's lo mechaside umos ha'olam, ele mechachameim. But what's the din of chach me umos ha'olam? One way to read the Rambam, this is actually the way I always assumed to read the Rambam, was ele mechachameim, and they too get a chelek in olam haba. Along similar lines, and perhaps going even further, Rav Kook writes, you have this in your Makoros, that Chachmei Umos Ha'olam is even greater than Chaside Umos Ha'olam. He writes that the Rambam's position is that Chachma, and observing things through Chachma, is the highest possible Madrega. The distinction between Chachamim and Chasidim is one that you see in a number of places in the Rambam. You see it in Shmona Prakim and elsewhere. For now, we won't get into that. And Rav Kook then acknowledges this might not be the simple reading of the Rambam, but he thinks it's true one way or the other. So according to Rav Kook's understanding of the Rambam, Chachmei Umos Ha'olam certainly get a chelek in Olam Haba. And perhaps that chelek is even greater than the Chasidei Umos Ha'olam, namely if a non-Jew is a moral person, observes the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach because he thinks that that's right, even if he does not recognize that it comes from the Ribono Shel Olam, so he has a chelek in Olam Haba. Rabbi Tursky mentioned in one of the post-Mincha Shiurim that he understands the Rambam very differently. He understood that even if the correct girsa is Elamei Chachameihem, this doesn't mean that Chachmei Umos Olam have a chelek in Olam Haba. Only Chasidei Umos Olam have a chelek in Olam Haba. because they believe that the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and morality stems from the Ribono Shel Olam. And Chachmei Umos Olam do not. Now, the truth of the matter is that if we are correct, that the Makor for the Rambam is that passage from Mishnah to Rabbi Eliezer, then that would be a very strong raya to Rabbi Tursky's pshat. Because it said over there that if they believe in that the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach come at Piha Kabbalah, so then they're Mechaside Omos Olam, and they have a Chelak Olam Haba. And if not, so then it says that, right, Aval Im Asu Sheva Mitzvot Amru Mepiploni Shamanu Omidas Atzman Shekach Adas Machras, so then Im Asu Kol Tarkula Ein Log Chanschan Erla B'Olam Hazeh, which would support the way Rabbi Tursky is reading the Rambam. Rabbi Tursky told me that he has a raya for this pshat from the Rambam elsewhere in Hilchos Tshuva and Per Gimel, where the Rambam writes, also there referring to Chasidei Umos Olam, he writes, V'chein, the very end of Halacha Hey, V'chein Chasidei Umos Olam Yesh Lam Chelak L'Olam Haba, and then in Vav, he continues, V'elu She'en Lam Chelak L'Olam Haba, Ela Nechrasim the Ovdin, Vinidonin Algo del Risham the Chatasam, the Olam Ulyome Olamim, Haminim, Vapikorsim, Vakofrim Batora, Vakofrim Triasamasim, Vakofrim Via Sagula, Vamishumadim, etc., etc. So the Halacha Vav, which says Elush Elam Chelaklam Haba, and includes basically people that deny Ikari Amuna, is modifying that which he said in the very previous sentence, namely that Chasidei Omos Olam have a Chelak Lam Haba. So if you read that carefully, it sounds like even among Umos HaOlam, if they deny Ikari Emuna, so they too have no Chelak in Olam Haba, which is essentially what Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer is saying, namely that observance of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is insufficient. They have to have proper beliefs, including Taras Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, if a non-Jew denies Taras Moshe Rabbeinu, he too will lack a chelak in Olam Haba. This also might be supported from a igeres of the Rambam. You have it here as well. The Rambam writes in a letter, V'alkein amru chachmei ha'emes, rabosenu aleim ha'shalom, chasidei umos ha'olam yeshlam chelak l'olam haba, im hesigu, notice, by the way, how he attributes the phrase chasidei umos ha'olam to Chazal, which would support the fact that we mentioned before, that it's from that medrash. But he writes, when do Chasidei Umos Olam have a chelak in Olam Haba? Im hisigu ma sherotwi lahasig miyadiyas habore yisborach, v'hiskinu nafsham b'midos hatovos, v'ein b'davar safik shekol mi shehiskin nafsho b'kashros hamidos v'kashros hachachma b'emunas habore yisborach, b'vadei shehu mibnei ha'olam haba. So here the Rambam doesn't just stress observance of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach with respect to having a chelak in Olam Haba for non-Jews, but he mentions that they need to be masig masheratwi lahasig miyadiyas habore yisbarach, meaning to say again, seemingly they have to have appropriate ikari emuna as well. So those are two ways to understand the Rambam's concept of chachmei umos ha'olam. This, of course, relates to a topic which we discussed earlier, which is the extent to which intellectual cognition is necessary for the Rambam's, for Olam Haba, even among Jews or not, and our comments there are relevant here as well. Now, even if we assume that non-Jews do experience Olam Haba, there are many that are medayik that they don't necessarily have the same Olam Haba as Klal Yisrael. The truth is that the Kuzari stresses this, and the Rambam also implies this as well. The Rambam in the Surei Bia, Perek Yudalad Halacha Dalad, when he writes about the halachos of Geirus, writes as follows. The Omrim Lo, we say to the prospective convert, Have Yodea She'olam Haba Enot Safon Ela Letzadikim Behem Yisrael. That Olam Haba is only for tzaddikim, and they are the Jews, and that which you see the Jewish people suffering in this world, that's only because Einam Yecholim Lekabel Rov Tova B'Olam Hazeh K'umos, Shema Yerum Libam V'yit'u V'yafsidu Schar Ha'olam Haba. So the Rambam says we tell the convert that only Klal Yisrael can get Olam Haba. Now that's not entirely true, because the Rambam writes Chassidi Umos Olam Yeshlam Chelak Olam Haba. What presumably he means is that the nature of the Olam Haba that a Yisrael could achieve is categorically different than the Olam Haba that is shayach to a non-Jew.
Where's the halacha in the Yisubia?
Yud Dalad Dalad. The Tiferes Yisrael is medayik, a similar point from the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah, of course, begins with Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak LeOlam Haba, Shenemar V'Amech Kulam Tzadikim. Kol Yisrael have a Chelak LeOlam Haba, whereas when it comes to Umos Olam, it's only Chaside Umos Olam that have Olam Haba. What's the pshat? So this actually is a nice, this whole concept that we're doing today is a appropriate introduction to our next topic, which is Bechiras Yisrael. And the idea that they're medayik is that Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak Olam Haba, because the etzem being a Yisrael makes you shaykh to Olam Haba, and therefore Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak Olam Haba, whereas that's not true when it comes to Umos HaOlam. There, they can gain shaykhus to it, Chasidei Umos HaOlam, or maybe Chachmei Umos HaOlam have a Chelak Olam Haba, but it's not something that's inherent. It's only something if they deserve it. The Tiferes Yisrael writes, V'hadika amar hacha kol Yisrael after kaima landigam chasidei humos yeshlam chelak l'olam haba v'arei gam afilu beinonim shebahem yeshlam chelak l'olam haba midelo tani b'masnisin rak bilam. After all, the only excluded one is bilam. Yeshlam adizehu b'ksherim shebeumos aval rishoyim shebahen lacha shesavlu onshan yelchu nafsho sam li'ibud ma she'en kein Yisrael. The Maharal writes that the reason for this is because of a Jew's latent spirituality. The Maharal writes, Perish HaKasav Shirotza Lomar Ki Yisrael Kulam Tzadikim Ve'ena Perishem Tzadikim Al Yidei Maisa. Why is it that Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak Lam Haba? Doesn't make sense. We should say that if you deserve it, you'll get it. What's the pshadin ba'amich kulam tzadikim? And the answer is that naturally they're b'nei olam haba. It's not just al yedei maisa. Perhaps if they do the most egregious things and they exclude themselves from Klal Yisrael and the like, they can be mesalik themselves from Klal Yisrael, but naturally being part of Klal Yisrael gives them that chelak. Okay. The last topic that I want to do on this topic of Olam Haba, perhaps we won't get to today's topic today, we'll see, is a question that we'll see very much bothered the Rishonim. In fact, all the Rishonim addressed this question, and the truth is it's a question that you hear all the time nowadays as well. And that is, why is it that spiritual reward is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah? And really there's two parts to this question. Part A is, why is it that the Torah focuses on physical rewards and punishments, like Parshas Bechukosai, when it talks about the reward for observing mitzvos? So what does it say? In Bechukosai, Teilech, Ves Mitzvosai, Tishmeru, then what? V'nasati Gishmechem Bito, V'etnas Na'arzi V'lo, V'etzah Sedei Yitain Peryo, V'esig Lachem Daish, Esbatir, etc., etc., etc. So the Torah says, if you observe the Torah, what will you get? Lots of Olam Hazeh. And if you violate it, what will you get? Enemies, and famine, and drought, and war, and plague. So there's two parts to this question then. Part A is, why is it that the Torah focuses on physical reward and punishment? And part B is, why doesn't it focus on spiritual reward and punishment, if after all, that's the ikar, as we've been seeing throughout this section. So in terms of part A, if you turn to page 20 of your Makoros, the Rambam tells us the following solution. Later we'll see others. The Rambam in Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva Aloch Aleph writes that the reward promised by the Torah for observing the Torah, namely in Parshas Bechukosai and elsewhere, is not actually schar. The Torah does not say anywhere that the schar for observance of Torah and mitzvos is gashmius, is olam hazah. What is the nature of the reward promised in this world? It is not the reward, but simply HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling you that if you observe Torah and mitzvos and you do that which is right, I will give you the opportunity to do more Torah and mitzvos. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah, in the sense that if you do the mitzvos, you'll have harchavas hadas, your enemies won't be chasing you, you'll have plenty to eat, and this will give you the opportunity to sit and learn and be oved Hashem mitoch harchavas hadas. And likewise, if you abandon the Torah, so then I will take away those opportunities to achieve goodness. And accordingly, you won't have the opportunities to do Torah mitzvos and thereby early earn Olam Haba. So again, the reward is not schar, but simply the Torah telling you, Elaneshev Pinuyim Lilmod B'chachma V'lasos HaMitzvos Kedesh Nizka L'chai Olam Haba. But the actual schar is Olam Haba. So that's the first part of the question. Why does the Torah focus on the physical? We'll see other answers shortly. But what about the second part of the question? Why does the Torah not mention the spiritual? This is, in fact, much more egregious. If it's true, shouldn't the Torah say so? So we'll see today, God willing, 9 answers in the Rishonim to this question. Any question that has 9 answers is A, a very important question, B, one whose answers are not so clear and obvious, hence the need for so many possibilities. But before we actually see the answers, we should question the assumption, which is it really true that the Torah doesn't mention Olam Haba? After all, the Mishnah in Perek Chelak says, Elu she'en lam chelak Olam Haba, ha'omer ein tchias ha-mesim min ha-Torah. The Gemara assumes tchias ha-mesim is Olam Haba, as we've seen, and it says explicitly that denying that it's from the Torah is punishable by lack of tchias ha-mesim. And in fact, if you look at the Gemara over there, it brings a number of mekoros, places where the Torah does seem to refer to Olam Haba. I'll mention 2 of them. There are many others. One is the pasuk from Devarim Perek Lamed Beis, Ru'ata ki ani Hashem, sorry, ki ani anihu, ani amis v'achaya. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, ani amis v'achaya. It should say the opposite. It should say, I bring, cause people to live and cause them to die. What does it mean, I cause them to die and cause them to live? This is an allusion to Tchias HaMesim. Another reference is Az Yashir Moshe. What do you mean Az? Az is future tense. Then Moshe will sing. Should have said Moshe sing. The answer is Moshe will once again live and be able to sing. A reference to Tchias HaMesim.
Those are both allusions though, they're not.
That's correct. As we said before, that these are allusions, it's not explicit. The Ramban actually points out that beyond the allusions that the Gemara makes, there are many places in the Torah where you do see the Torah presumes the Nitzchias HaNeshama, which is the basic concept of Olam Haba. One of them, which he cites, is the concept of Kares. The Ramban writes, V'teda v'taskil ki ha-krisus ha-nizkeres b'nefesh b'tachom gadol b'kiyam ha-nefashos. If kares is a lack of Olam Haba, it's a, or some form of post-mortem punishment, clearly that presumes that your nefesh continues to exist after you die. Another reference in Tanakh is from Sefer Shmuel, V'haisa nefesh adoni tzrura b'tzrura chayim, es Hashem Elokecha, ves nefesh oivecha, yikal'ena b'soch kafa kela. So we have the nefesh being tzara b'tzrura chayim, so that's a reference to the nitzchis haneshama letov, and likewise the reverse, kaf hakela. Another instance is where after Shmuel's death, Shaul somehow or another manages to conjure up his spirit, which again presumes that his spirit was still alive. There are many others. You see the psukim in Melachim Aleph, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Yotes, assuming that the spirit of Nevas still exists and in fact wished to take revenge against Achav. There are psukim that refer to the resurrection in Nach, in Yeshayahu, Yichyu, Meisecha, Nivlasaya, Kumu, Hekitsu, etc. And Daniel, Virabim, Miyashene Haretz, Miyashene's Admas, Afar Yakitsu. However, even all of these proofs or pieces of evidence that we've cited are not incontrovertible. And in fact, the Rashba writes in the Tshuva that we've seen that ultimately we only truly know about Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba based off of tradition, based off of Mesorah. And without the Mesorah, we would not know about it. Even the Psukim that refer to Tchias HaMeisim, if it wasn't for the Mesorah, we could have interpreted allegorically. And therefore, ultimately, the true Mekor for Olam Haba and for Tchias HaMeisim is the Mesorah. And thus, we return to our question, which is, why is it that this important principle is not stated explicitly? So, the first answer that we're going to see is stated by Rav Sadia Gaon in Amunos Videos, and elaborated upon by the Ramban in a number of places, and that is that it goes without saying. The fact that the neshama, which is a spiritual entity, will continue to live even after it separates from the physical body is obvious. Why would we assume that the demise of our physical body should lead to a destruction of the spiritual soul? The Torah only needs to stress and state that which is surprising, and it is highly unlikely or very surprising that we should be rewarded with physical things for doing spiritual mitzvos. And therefore the Torah stresses physical rewards, precisely because I never would have imagined that there would be physical rewards for doing spiritual mitzvos. But when it comes to the spiritual reward, so that's pashut, it's obvious, it goes without saying, and it need not be stressed nor elaborated upon. Again, we're not going to read these inside. You have them in your Makoro sheet. What we just said is on page 30. From Rosag and Ramban. The second approach is taken by the Rambam, and the Rambam writes that if the Torah mentioned Olam Haba, then that would cause people to serve God or to observe the Torah in order to earn Olam Haba, which is of course not the ideal form of service. The Rambam writes, Al Yomer Adam Hareini Ose Mitzvahs HaTorah V'Osek B'Chachma Kadesh Kabel Kol HaBracha Suvos Bo O Kadesh Ezke L'Chai Olam Haba. It's wrong, or at least not ideal, to serve God in order to earn Olam Haba. And the Rambam writes as well that this is in fact why the Torah did not stress or even mention Olam Haba. The way the Maral puts it in Tiferes Yisrael Perek Nun Ches is, Ki eich efshar sheyia nizkar batorah shum schar ki ilu amar sheyavod ha'adam bor'o b'shvil haschar. By simply mentioning the schar, it would imply that that should be our motivation. Now, of course, the question then is, why is it mentioned in the Torah Sheba'al Peh? If stating it implies that that is the legitimate motivation, then it shouldn't be stated at all. And we'll see momentarily how the Maharal deals with that issue. The third approach, this is also in the Rambam, is that the Torah refrains from discussing abstract and unintelligible manners. The Rambam writes, "Velo dimua hanaviim kedei shelo yifchesu osa b'dimayon." If the neviim, if Torah would have mentioned Olam Haba or described Olam Haba, that would have taken away from it, because it's something that we can't possibly relate to. As physical creatures, we could only relate to physical existence and our physical bodies. We could understand that there is a soul, and we could understand that there's such a thing as non-physical pleasure, but to really appreciate that is something that we're incapable of doing in our current state. The Ibn Ezra stresses this as well in Dvarim Perek Lamed Beis. He writes, Ki mizeh kasuv nilmad chai olam haba. This is a pasuk we mentioned earlier. And ulafi dati shatora nitna lakol. The Torah was something that was given to everybody, given to all the Jewish people. Lo le'echad levado. It wasn't a philosophical book written for brilliant people, but it was something that, on a basic level, everybody could understand. V'davar ha'olam haba lo yavinu echad minei alef. Ki amoku. V'schar ha'olam haba talui b'davar ha'neshama. V'inehu chalef avodas halev, Vavodasal is bonein, maase Hashem, etc., etc. Meaning to say that the Torah, at least the Torah Shebichtav, on a level of pshat, is given in such a way that everybody can understand. Olam Haba is something that most people can't understand. Therefore, the Torah focuses on its explanation in the Torah Shebaal Peh, which allows for various different levels and speaks to multiple audiences. Now, the Torah itself, of course, also speaks to multiple audiences, but on a basic level, it's designed to speak to everybody. And therefore, for those who can't understand, so then the Torah's text is sufficient, and for those who can, so allusions like the Eitz HaChaim are sufficient. This idea is also taken by the Chovos HaLevavos in Shar Aleph of Shar HaYichud, in Shar Yichud Perak Yud, and others as well. And the fourth approach, given by the Ran in Drashos, is a fascinating one. He writes that the Torah only pledges controvertible promises, meaning to say as follows. If I were to make up a religion, start a religion, so what would I do? So I would claim to be a prophet, something that none of you have experienced, so you're going to have to rely on me and trust me, which is, of course, not what the Torah does. The Torah describes how Matan Torah is an experience of mass revelation. And then I would basically say, Chevra, if you listen to me and that, those prophecies that I've received, so then you're all going to go to heaven. And if you disobey that which I say, you're all going to go to hell. Now, why would I say that? Because you can never contradict what I'm saying. Nobody's been there to verify it. And therefore, making promises about the afterlife is no kunz, because anyone could promise it because they could never be questioned. And therefore, he says, the Torah focuses on physical rewards and punishments because these are things that could actually be challenged. If Klal Yisrael as a nation observe the Torah and mitzvos and the Torah's promises don't come true, or the opposite, they reject the Torah and mitzvos and the Torah's promises of suffering don't come true, so then we would know the Torah is false. But in fact, they did come true, and that such is the nature of the promises of the Torah. Yeah.
Remember, so similar idea. Malm says, Hayom. So, like Hayom, you can see the Baruch Mekhala has a Yom Tam. Is that really true? Meaning, we say when it comes to Bechir Hashis, that the only point of Bechir Hashis is that we don't say a lightning bolt strikes us right away, because otherwise we won't have Bechir Hashis.
Because the Torah never said, though, that lightning would strike someone who observes. Right. What did the Torah say? The Torah writes that there's going to be collective rewards and punishments for when the Jewish people observe the Torah and Mitzvos, and B'chukosai Teilechu is B'lashon Rabbim. And the Ramban writes that history has shown that each and every one of the things promised, both Latav and Lamutav, in the Brachos and Klalos, have in fact come true. And the Ramban writes about examples and places where we've seen the fulfillment of these promises. Now, why the Torah doesn't say that you'll be struck with lightning if you sin, so the answer to that, among others, is what you said correct, what you correctly said, which is that would preclude the possibility of free will. But the Torah does promise collective rewards and punishments, and in fact, those promises have remarkably and very, very startlingly have been fulfilled, as the Ramban points out.
If the rewards and punishments were so gulloy, so therefore, why is everybody following?
So what you're pointing out correctly is exactly correct, that there's a balance. Absolutely. The fifth approach, which is taken by the Sefer Yikarim, Rav Hirsch in 19 letters, elaborates upon this as well, and that is that the Torah focuses, as we just noted, on collective reward and punishment and not individual reward and punishment. Collective reward and punishment is experienced as a community, such that if the community is righteous, even if perhaps certain individuals aren't worthy, they will prosper alongside everybody else, and likewise the reverse. Whereas individual reward and punishment is precise, and therefore not shayach to olam hazeh. Now, why the Torah only focuses on the collective and not the individual is a topic that we won't get into now, though it is a very important idea also the notion that the Torah Shebichtav focuses more on the collective and the Torah Shebalpeh focuses more on the individual is an idea that Rav Kook develops. And again, perhaps we could return to another time. The sixth approach, which the Maharal develops in Tiferes Yisrael Perek Nun Zayin, is that prophecy does not relate to that which isn't this worldly. Prophecy is something that is an image or relates to an image or a mashal that the prophet sees, and accordingly is incapable of relating to things that are more subtle. And again, here too, he describes why it's olam where it's the Torah Shebalpeh, which focuses on the non-this worldly reality. He writes, "Kiena sagas hanevuah rak ledavar shehu ba'olam hazeh, kimo bias mashichenu." That's why the Torah focuses on Yemos HaMashiach and not Olam Haba. Av shehu midarka elyona b'olam hazeh. Aval dvar masher einam ito b'mitzios, lo shalta nevuah b'zeh. Kien hasagas hanevuah rak ledavar shehu ba'olam hazeh, kimo bias mashichenu av shehu madrega elyona b'olam hazeh v'gomer. This is, by the way, how he explains the concept of Chacham Adaf Minavi, because using the intellect one can relate to things that are more abstract or subtle than using than through the process of nevuah. And again, this too is an idea perhaps we'll talk about another time. The seventh approach is that the Torah is a guide to perfecting this world, and focus on the next world is a distraction. In Perek Nun Zayin, the Maharal elaborates upon this answer. HaTorah hu tikkun olam hazeh. And in fact, most of the mitzvos of the Torah relate to, as the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, creating the perfect society, creating a society which functions smoothly, in which people are not mistreated. L'kayim eseder olam hazeh. V'ema ta'omer shiyah mazkir olam haba, imkein lo yiyah dai ba'olam hazeh liyasher es boryav. Rak kasher mavtiach lahem ha'olam haba, imkein lo haya shalim mitzad atzmo. By mentioning olam haba, that would take away from the shlemus of Torah, which is a guide to olam hazeh, meaning to say Torah shebichtav as opposed to Torah shebalpeh. There are many other sources that focus on this idea. Each one presents it in their own light. The Rav, for example, elaborates on this particular distinction in Halachic Man. I'll read you a couple of short quotes. The difference between Halachic Man and Religious Man is essentially one of orientation. They move in opposite directions. Religious Man starts from this world and concludes in Atzilus. Halachic Man begins in Atzilus and concludes in this world. Religious man, dissatisfied, disappointed, and unhappy, aspires to ascend from the veil of tears of actuality, to escape the straits of sensed existence, into divine expanses of transcendental existence, purged and distilled. Halachic man, on the contrary, yearns to bring transcendence into the valley of death of our world and to transform it into the land of life. While religious man throbs with the pining for flight from reality, halachic man draws a line in the sand of this world and does not leave it. He wishes to purify this world, not to flee it. Flight heralds defeat. And this is a major theme of halachic man and explains why the Torah does not focus on olam haba, and moreover why halachic man is not occupied or preoccupied with thought of Olam Haba, even though he believes in its existence. Along similar lines, Rav Shimshon Frol Hirsch writes that focusing on post-mortem punishment plunges a person into depression. The Torah wants us to think about life, not death. And in fact, the Rav Hirsch writes that the preoccupation upon death is a result of the suffering that came about during the Crusades, in which our tormentors took away our ability to focus on life as we should by making our lives miserable and forced us to focus on things of matters of death and Olam Haba and pietism and asceticism and the like. And he writes that this is a deviation from the Torah's vision. There's a beautiful passage in Tshuva Sridei Eish where Rav Yaakov Weinberg presents the legacy of Rav Hirsch and presents how he was trying to restore the Torah's natural perspective, which doesn't focus on Olam Haba as much and focuses on Olam Hazeh. One brief line to bring the point out. He writes, again, this is the Sridei Eish describing Rav Hirsch. It is true, of course, that belief in divine reward and punishment is a basic Jewish principle, but extensive use of it, placing it at the center of religious feeling, turning it into the solitary propelling force for fulfilling mitzvos, can plunge a man into depression and induce spiritual malaise. And he writes, this is the reason why the Torah does not even mention explicitly Olam Haba, because explicitly mentioning Olam Haba would cause a person to focus on it, such as human nature, as we know, and therefore the Torah focuses on Olam Hazeh, and even with respect to rewards and punishments, focuses on Olam Hazeh. The eighth approach is to somewhat reject the presumption in the question. The presumption of the question, as we've seen, is that the Torah focuses on Schar in Olam Hazeh, and not Schar in Olam Haba. However, the Kuzari, as well as the Gra, point out that if you read, let's say, Parshas Bechukosai carefully, you'll see that it's not simply referring to physical reward. The Gra writes in Shir HaShirim, Uvezem miturets gamkein ma shehikshu kol hakadmonim ma shelo nemar b'Torah Schar Olam Haba. Ki ikar Olam Haba hu lahashiv haneshama l'mekora l'dabek b'shchina. Uvevada yoser tov mizek shashchina davka l'mata kasher haisa kavanas habriya kayadua. Parshas Bechukosai talks about hashras hashchina in Klal Yisrael. And that is the greatest possible level. V'schar zek kosov b'Torah ad ein mispar v'shachanti b'socham v'lo sigal nafshi v'chulei. Right? Take a look at these psukim that we read. V'nasati mishkani b'sochechem v'lo sigal nafshi eschem v'hishalachti b'sochechem v'ayisi lachem l'elokim v'atem tiyu l'ilam ani Hashem l'okeichem asher otesi eschem eretz mitzrayim miyos lahem avadim v'ashbor motos uchem v'oleich eschem koma miyos. The Kuzari, the Gra, and others point out that the Torah does in fact focus on the spiritual benefits of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can be achieved on this world. It's not just about grain and dew and prosperity, but it's about that prosperity that could lead to a situation of Hashras HaShechina. A parenthetical point, you'll note that in Vayikra it focuses much more on the spiritual aspect, whereas Devarim focuses much more on the physical aspect. I once heard Rostov talk about how this relates to the general distinctions between Vayikra and Devarim, or the first four books and Devarim. But again, that's another time, another topic for another time. Just to read briefly from the Kuzari, Aval Yehudenu hadvekenu b'inyan ha'aloki b'nevua u'mashu karov la v'his chaber ha'inyan ha'aloki banu b'gdula v'kavod v'movsim. V'alken einenu omer b'Torah ki im taseh, you know, it's a little long. I'm skipping a little. Ki tiru im shchinaso shetia b'solchechem mituv ad maschem v'seder gashmechem v'shelo ya'avru itehem hatzarchohem, and so on and so forth. V'yehudah kulam kolel osam shoresh achad v'hu Yichul Kurvas Elokim Umalachav. Finally, the ninth approach is one which is mentioned by the Rambam among others. And this is that there are historical considerations and historical reasons for the Torah's focus on Olam Hazeh and not Olam Haba. A Maimer Musgar, a number of Mefarshim write about how one of the differences between Pshat and Drash is that Pshat is more related to the historical situation of the Jews at the time that the Torah was given. And along similar lines, the Rambam writes that the Torah Shebichtav could not have focused on abstract, unintelligible manners, considering that it was being given to the Jewish people in the desert who had just left Egypt, people who were ensconced in a world of idolatry. And specifically, the focus on the spiritual reward would not have been appropriate for such people. The Torah's promises of physical bounty, on the other hand, were meant to draw people to Avodas Hashem. They lived in a world where a world of idolatry, which always focused on the idea that if you serve the gods, then you will be rewarded with physical bounty. And thus, the Torah has to promise to wean them from their attraction to idolatry, that if you observe the Torah, you will also be rewarded physically, and if you serve idolatry, you will be punished. And thus, it's only in the oral law that we focus on this spiritual reward, because the oral law transcends the message given to that specific generation. It is something that's very important to know, and therefore the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told it to us at Sinai as well, but it's the Torah Shebichtav that focuses on the message that that particular generation, a generation which was struggling with idolatry, and of course we know that the struggle with idolatry continued for many generations following the giving of the Torah, what the message that they needed to hear was not one of Olam Haba, but really one of Olam Hazeh. This, by the way, relates very much to the Rambam's theory concerning Karbanos, one which perhaps we'll have a chance to talk about another time. But the Rambam writes that Karbanos as well are a means of bringing us close to the Ribono Shel Olam. And while in the hierarchy of methods and means to come close to God, there perhaps are levels that are superior to Karbanos, including Tefillah and including contemplation of the divine, but nevertheless, the Torah does not expect people to be able to undergo major transformations in a short period of time. To expect that is unrealistic, and therefore, that's one of the reasons for the Torah's focus on Karbanos, and likewise, that's the reason the Rambam writes for the Torah's focus on Schar and Onesh in Olam Hazeh, as opposed to focusing on Olam Haba. That's what the Rambam writes in the guide. It's in Perek Gimel, Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Beis. And the Rambam also has this idea in his Igeres Tchias HaMesim in section 4, where he writes concerning why the Torah doesn't mention Tchias HaMesim. V'lo hotziam inyane ha'olam hazeh b'gmul uva'onesh u'meha inyan asher b'teva shehu hisha'er ha'nefesh o ha'karasa kemo shezacharnu ritzoni lomar ha'olam haba v'kares v'lo nechnas lezul hazem inyan ha'tchia v'tamid ha'inyan kein ad shizchazaknu shizchazku elu ha'pinos v'hisamtu behemshech ha'doros ולא נשאר ספק בנבואת הנביאים, ולא בחידוש הנפלאות. ואחר כן, סיפרו לנו הנביאים מה שהודיעם השם מעניין תחיית המסים, והיה קל לקבלו. He says that's the reason why you'll see in the later prophets, especially prophets like Zechariah and Daniel and the like, where we have much more of an explicit focus on things like tchiyas hamesim. Why is it that there's tchiyas hamesim in the explicit psukim in tchiyas hamesim, like v'rabim ibnei haaretz, yakitsu, v'chulei? Why are those stated then? The answer is that by that point, the Jewish people had come to accept belief in prophecy and Torah and the like, and therefore at that point, they were ready to hear a message of this sort. Okay, so I'll take your question one moment. We'll stop here. I guess we're not going to get to today's topic, which is Bechiras Yisrael. So we'll begin Be'ezras Hashem next week. There are Mekorus booklets, which you already have if you want to look ahead, or if you are afraid that you won't remember to bring them next week, you could leave them, and I will bring them next week. And have a wonderful Shabbos. Wait, we just have 2-3 minutes. I'll take some of the questions. Yes?
Within the ninth answer, that the first focus is on countering the cultural context of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding of culture is that they're obsessed with love. Why wouldn't that then be
so? What the Rambam says is a little more precise. He doesn't say that it's Olam Haba. They were, at least the Rambam writes, from his vast expertise in reading the books of Avodah Zarah, which he frequently refers to, including Egyptian works, that it was an assumption that by doing whatever rituals you were supposed to do, you would enjoy the benefits of this world. And therefore, the Torah says, focus on, if you won't lose out by keeping the Torah. On the contrary, you'll gain in this world as well. Okay, any other questions? Yes? You had a question also? Okay.
Yeah, it's more towards the beginning of the shiur.
Yep.
So you said the Rambam says that we can figure out all the steps of Yisrael Bnei Noach.
Hadas Machras.
Yeah, so doesn't the Rambam in Shmuel Prakim, I think he says that we look at secularity of that it's actually a chok. Like, I know there's a Gemara in Yoga that talks about, and I think he has a different gear, so that he understands secularity to be a chok. So wouldn't that...
I have to look at where you're referring to, but my understanding is that while certain pratim might be things that wouldn't come up with on his own, the general concept of Avarayos is something that, like he says, Hadas Machras. And even to be Mosif, certainly the Gilei Avarayos that Bnei Noach were in Itztavu Alein, which are more narrow than the Torahs, are certainly Hadas Machras Alein. That might even relate to the distinction between Arayos of Bnei Noach and Yisrael. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, and we'll pick up next week.